May 1932 at the confluence of Mull Creek and Piney Mountain Creek. And that's when it turns into Caney Fork.
Tell her who you are.
I'm Baxter Wood. I was born right on the side of Piney Mountain Creek. The second son and the seventh child of a family of 11. There were 11 of us. My grandmother and granddaddy lived across the creek, their old home place there. I went to the first grade at Sugar Creek School, all we knew it as. Two rooms, no indoor plumbing, of course, no central heat, pot-bellied stove, two rooms. And where I grew up, we had no indoor water, of course, no indoor plumbing, no electricity. In fact, there was not any electricity up there. We were the first ones to get electricity in my grandmother's house, because our house washed away in the flood of, well, it was used where we could not use it, in the flood of August the 30th, 1940. It washed out every bridge on Caney Fork, washed out most of the roads. We lost two barns, one horse, two or three cattle, and some hogs that washed away in the flood. That was 1940. And after that, we built another house up above my granddaddy's. I've forgotten how long we lived there. Then we bought a farm down at Johns Creek. But I went from the second grade through the sixth grade and part of the seventh grade at Johns Creek. Then in the seventh grade, up in the seventh grade, we were transferred to Cullowhee High School, where I finished out the seventh grade through high school, and I graduated in high school in 1950. Started to university in fall of 50, and that was the Korean War started the middle of June of 1950. I was working in Greenville, South Carolina with my brother-in-law, and came back to Western in the fall of 50, and then the Army started looking at me real seriously, so I joined the Navy. I spent 4 years in the Navy. Came back to Western in the fall of 1955. Then I met Sue in May of 1956. We were married in August of that year. I finished 3 years of college in, 4 years of college in 3 years. Finished my undergraduate work, started graduate school, and in the fall of 1958, we moved to Arlington, Virginia, where I taught for 5 years. Then we moved back to, during the summertime, I came back and finished my undergraduate, or my graduate degree. We moved back here in the fall of, the summer of 1963. I went to work for the university, and I retired from the university then in 1995. We moved here in July of 1963. And this is really the only home that our children ever realized. Jimmy was born January, the year that John F. Kennedy was inaugurated president. That was 1961. I taught in what was considered at that time the number one junior high school in the whole nation. I lived in what they called a country club of Arlington County. First year I taught English, American history, and world geography. Then the second year I moved straight into world geography and taught a number of students of very prominent people in the Washington area. I taught both of John Glenn's children. We moved from there in 63 because it was getting to the point that I didn't want to rear the children there. It was just too much. So I've been here since 1963.
And how has Jackson County changed since from when you were born to now?
Oh, Lordy. How has Jackson County changed? It was very, very, very rural at the time I came along, and even up through my high school. There were no communities like Forest Hill. There was no big developments here in Jackson County, except you get up to South Jackson County, the Cashers area, that's a different story. But we were all poor. I guess we were the first ones on Caney Fork to have a radio, battery-operated radio. We were poor, but most everybody else was poor. Very few people that weren't. But one of 11 children, mother worked there on the farm, just like all the children did, out hoeing corn, whatever needed to be done, stacking hay. It was very tough economically compared to what it is now. It was, but no one had anything other than what they had at home to eat. Bought very, very few groceries. We did our own corn meal. We never did grow any wheat, but my grandfather Stevens did, and we got flour from him sometimes. My grandfather Wood owned a grist mill right there at the house, and all that got washed away during the flood. I've never seen rain like that. It was unbelievable. The amount of water that came down Rough Butt and Mole Creek. Incredible. But there were 7 of us that spent the night in a two-holer. You know what a two-holer is? That's an outdoor toilet. See, we had no indoor plumbing, so we had an outdoor toilet. We didn't know there was such a thing as wiping cloth, or we used newspapers, if we had any, or Sears and Roebuck catalog to wipe yourself on. It was tough.
What would you say specifically is the biggest change that's happened in Caney Fork since you lived there?
Since I lived there? Oh, gosh. One of the major changes in the past several years, there is not a Wood by the name last name that lives on Caney Fork. There is not a Phillips by the last name that lives on Caney Fork. and some other families. You probably have more non-Caney Fork people living there now than there are natives of Caney Fork. Very, very different community. You got some beautiful homes up there. My brother owns two places there. He bought the old home place. I have a nephew that lives there. In fact, I have two nephews now that live there on the old home place. They built their own homes.
About coming to town?
Huh?
When did you come to town? Did you ever come to town? How did you get there?
Oh, once in a great while. I don't remember the first time I was in Silva. I don't remember.
How would you have gotten there?
Somebody in a truck.
How long would you say it would probably take you to get to Silva from Caney Fork, where you lived?
Then? Close to an hour. Of course, it takes about, maybe more than an hour. Because now, if you drive the way you're supposed to, it's about 40 minutes from where I was born. 10 miles, it's where I was born and reared, is 10 miles from Highway 107. Right back out onto the Blue Ridge Parkway. Have you ever been on the Blue Ridge Parkway?
I have.
To the highest point on the Blue Ridge Parkway?
No.
Well, you've had to pass it then. 6,000 and some feet, and if you go down that's the highest point on Blue Ridge Parkway. You go down that mountain, you'll come right out where I was born and reared.
You told me about Sugar Creek.
Sugar Creek, that's the first school that I attended.
Were there any old churches around Caney Fork?
There is not a new church on Caney Fork that was not there whenever I was born. There was one Methodist church, and the rest of them were Baptists. Or Free Will Baptists. There was a Free Will Baptist church right there at Sugar Creek. My grandfather Wood was a member of it, and my grandmother Wood was a member of Balsam Grove Baptist. You've been up there, haven't you, Tommy? So you know where the Balsam Grove Baptist Church is. There at the cemetery, big cemetery up on top of the hill.
Off Caney Fork?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where all of my father's people are buried. In fact, I have a brother and 4 sisters that are buried there. I had a baby sister who died when she was 3 years old. She was 2 years younger than I. But they were just small community churches. The only way we had of getting there was walking.
Is there anything else you could think of that you would want to tell me?
Lord, I can't think of anything right now. I wouldn't want to do it again. Well, we grew everything that we ate. We thought it was the grandest thing in the world to get some bananas, to have a banana sandwich. We did our own hogs for pork. We never did kill any beef. So I ate very little beef growing up. Most of the meat to consume was either wild meat or pork. Chicken. We had our own chickens. It was very much an agrarian society. I don't remember the first time I came to Silva. But there was no school bus up there. My dad drove the first school bus, 1939. And anybody that went to high school up there, I had a couple of sisters that lived down here with friends that went to high school. Now, by the time I got up high school or college age, there was a great emphasis put on education. A very, very large number of that area, of that era, finished high school and went on to college. A small percentage. It was, I know the Cooks, the Woods, Kilby's. There were several families that the children went on to higher education. First people off of Caney Fork that came to Callaway was in 1950. I went from the 7th grade through the 12th at McKee High School. Well, it was Callaway High School, but it was the McKee building. At that time, Western was strictly a teacher's college, and Callaway High School and elementary school was the only place they could do student teaching. It was not spread out anywhere else. So we were exposed there at Callaway to a good education. Come May, I'll be 85, and except for the 5 years that I was in Virginia and the 4 years that I was in the military, I've lived in Jackson County all my life. I know I've done quite a bit of rambling here this morning, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. I got a good education. Sue and I both did. And our children got a good education. So it's a great place to live. Much has changed during my lifetime that I've seen. Western has grown tremendously. There were only about 500 students when I first started at Western. I came back in 63, we had around 1,400 students. And you see what it's grown to now. That's about all I can tell you, except growing up on Caney Fork was rough mountain living.
Thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Now then, you... we didn't worry them for anything else. Work boots.
You recorded them?
Yes.
You want a bunch of those, Our State magazines?
Talk to her more about the clothes and stuff.
Clothes, we had Sunday go to meeting clothes, and then we had work clothes and school clothes. Those had to last for a good long while.
And the dance parties, I'm guessing those are just mainly people in the Caney Fork area?
Well, no, the Canada section was about the same way. Now, the other parts of the county, I'm sure some parts of it was had the same situation we had. Electricity did not go to these outlying areas up until the late 40s, early 50s, before we had any electricity. The university down here used to generate its own power. Where the dam is,
mm-hmm. They
had a power generation right there on side of the river. And it furnished power for, electric power for the university and a lot of the outlying areas, which they still do. I'm still on university power, even though they buy it from Duke Energy now. They buy it from Duke Energy, and it's really a good money-making thing for the university that they keep their own distribution system. When we moved here in 1963, there were 5 houses in Forest Hills. This one and 4 on top of the hill. Well, 1 right below the road down here. And the rest of it was cattle, cheap. Forest Hills, it started growing a little bit then, in the 70s, more houses being built, and in the 80s. In fact, Forest Hills at that time was the only housing development of its kind anywhere in North Jackson County.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly in the Cullowhee area. There may have been some others with which I'm not familiar. Some around Selva. But it was... of course, we didn't know any better. But looking back now, Jimmy could have made it. I don't know that Deborah could have in the way of getting outside and doing the... although she's a great gardener now. Her lawn's immaculate most all the time. But they both loved it here. And of course, had we not come back to the university, we'd not had the number of friends that we had, and I still have. I wouldn't have had all these KAs. We reared a few of them. home away from home. What are you looking for?